What a powerful message. People do need the Lord. The New Testament lesson, the gospel lesson, comes from Matthew 17, verses 1 through 9. Listen to God's word. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I found, and maybe you have too, that it doesn't take very long in reading the Bible to discover that God is a very personal God. And God is interested in a personal relationship with each one of us. As you read through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, it's account after account of how God waits and wants and works to be personally, very personally involved in our lives. God is intimately interested in every aspect of what we do, and even in how we think and what our attitudes are. God is constantly helping us to follow him in every way. God loves us more than we can ever think or imagine. Both scriptures today are vivid portrayals of the lengths that God will go to prove in a very real and personal and unforgettable way that Jesus is God's Son. Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Us knowing that, Jesus' words, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father," knowing this is a first step towards a personal relationship with God. Matthew tells us that Jesus led his closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, up on a mountain, and while they were there with Jesus, those 3 disciples found themselves in the presence of the great prophets Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah had been dead for hundreds of years, and suddenly they were there on the mountain having a conversation with Jesus. Now, the disciples knew about Moses and Elijah, but they had never seen them before. God alone could have made the disciples able to recognize these respected Jewish prophet leaders. It was Moses who led the Hebrew people out of their slavery in Egypt to the freedom of the promised land. It was Moses that God used to demonstrate his miraculous power to save the people. And if you remember the stories of Moses, God performed miracles through him, the 10 plagues upon Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, the provision of food in the wilderness for 40 years. And somehow God made sure that the shoes of the people never wore out during those 40 years. Then there was the visible presence of God in the pillar of fire by night and in the cloud by day. God initiated a covenant with his first chosen people by giving them his law, and he did it through Moses. Moses offered the blood sacrifices on behalf of the people, and the people worshiped God. When Moses told the Hebrew people the terms of the covenant that God was initiating, the Bible says that twice the Israelites responded to God's instructions, and they said these words, "Everything that the Lord says, we will do." Everything the Lord says, we will do. So in response to the people's promise and vow to be faithful to God's covenant, the Lord called Moses from within the cloud. And to the Israelites who were watching, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire. They had already seen God demonstrate his power and his protection. And once again, they found themselves in the presence of the Almighty God. Moses called people into a relationship with God that was based on God's initiative, on God's ongoing love, and in God's commitment to provide for and care for his first chosen people. Moses is the one who called the people to respect and to remember God's promise and God's warnings. Elijah was the greatest of the prophets. The prophet Elijah ranks right up there with Moses as one of the most dramatic prophets of the Lord. The Bible tells us in 1 and 2 Kings in the Old Testament, God used Elijah in miraculous ways. At Elijah's word, kings trembled. The rain stopped. A jug of oil never ran dry. A boy was raised from the dead. Fire fell from the sky. Revival broke out. And hundreds of idolatrous prophets of Baal were executed. Elijah prophesied about and prepared the Israelites to receive the coming of the Messiah. Elijah called the people to respect and to remember God's promises and warnings. So when these two great men, Moses and Elijah, appeared with Jesus on the mountain, Peter, James, and John were able to see firsthand that Jesus was not a reincarnation of Moses or Elijah. Jesus was not there just to remind them to follow the rules. Jesus was not merely one of the prophets. God revealed to the disciples Jesus' identity in a powerful new way. Peter, James, and John saw Moses and Elijah personally give their support and their allegiance and their devotion to Jesus, the Messiah, who is the only Son of God. And in the midst of their visit, from the cloud, God told the disciples flat out that Jesus is the Son of God. God said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Later on, the disciples would recognize that Jesus brought a new covenant. The Old Testament law requiring a blood sacrifice of an unblemished animal for the forgiveness of sins, that law would be fulfilled by the blood sacrifice of Jesus, the perfect, sinless, human Lamb of God. Eternal life, a personal relationship with God, became available for all mankind, for everyone who puts their faith in Jesus the Christ. Jesus would be the last and best opportunity for all people to come into a relationship with God that was based on God's initiative, on God's ongoing love, and on God's commitment to provide for and care for everyone who calls on the name of Jesus. Just like it was
with God's people during the days of Moses and Elijah. God waits to hear and to see what our obedient response will be that demonstrates to the world that we know that Jesus is Lord. On that mountain with Jesus, those three disciples soon found out that that was not going to be an ordinary day. They were in for the ride of their lives, and it began with understanding that Jesus is the Son of God. So the disciples did what many people do. They wanted to mark the moment in a special way. It's almost like they wanted a souvenir of their time with Jesus and Moses and Elijah. I've found that sometimes people are impressed by displays of power and special effects, and that's what they remember the most. Peter began to think that way. He said, "Let's make three shelters, one for you, Jesus, and one for Moses and Elijah." And the Bible says that God interrupted him in his talking and said, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." I've found that I need to pay more attention to the message and less attention to the memory. Maybe you found that too. With the memory, we look to the past. With the message, we face today. And as we look to the future, with God, we see souls to be saved and prayed for and loved. What a story the disciples had to share when they came off of that mountain. And eventually they did share it with everyone who would listen and even with some who did not want to listen. I invite you to think back on your journey of faith. From that time that God first encountered you and you began to recognize the reality of God at work around you and within you. What a story you have to share. Think for a moment about those special events and memorable times. Maybe some of them were really great. Maybe some of them not so good and pretty painful. I invite you to think beyond the memories to the message. What is it? As you think about your faith journey, what is it in your relationship with God that holds you close to Him today in the midst of whatever you're going through? What is it in your relationship with God that holds you close to Him? What is it that keeps God's hand tight on your grasp? Is it God's love for you? Is it your commitment to God that hangs on tight in the midst of whatever struggles you face? Is it your conviction that only through faith in God can you ever be more than you can imagine on your own? Just think about that for a second. Imagine for a moment what it might be like if you offered to God the very most of who you are, your intelligence, your experiences, your charming personalities, your gifts, your abilities, your strengths, even your weaknesses, everything that makes you who you are. Imagine giving all of this to God. Imagine saying to God, "God, here's who I am. My goodness, my badness, even the things I don't care about. Take me on the ride of my life and help me to live the fullest life I can and to make the most of each day. Take my hand, God, and help me by your Spirit to be a clear reflection of you to everyone that I meet." Imagine saying that to God. Imagine yourself saying to God, you know where you're going. Can I come along for the ride and be part of your plan? Any part that you want me to be. Lead me where I need to go and give me the abundant life that you promised. Imagine saying that to God. Imagine becoming better acquainted and better friends with God by being willing to give up your sins with God's help. One of the greatest revelations that I've discovered is that my sins are not the real me. And my sins do not have to define who I am. Your sins are not the real you. You can give up your sins with God's help. Trust God to lead you because of who you are in Christ. Who you are in Christ defines who you are. Allow God to show you the best options the future can hold for you. Trust God enough to take hold of his hand and hang on. Dr. Ron Klein calls this attitude zeal for the Lord. Dr. Klein defined zeal in three ways. There's the zeal of the Lord, the zeal for the Lord, and the zeal from the Lord. First of all, the zeal of the Lord is when God decides something needs to be done, looks around for someone to work with and for him to accomplish that purpose, and you agree to it. That's where our zeal for our zeal of the Lord begins, in agreeing with God's purposes. That's the zeal of the Lord. The zeal for the Lord is when we make ourselves available to be used by God anywhere, anytime, and in any way. That's when our commitment kicks in. Whenever we tell God, I'm all yours. And zeal from the Lord is when God, on his way to do something amazing, comes along and takes you along with him. That's when you feel the zeal. That's when you really begin to participate in what God is doing, not just in your life, but through you in the life of someone else. God may want to encourage someone today through you. God may need someone to pray with another person today. And God wants that someone to be you. God may know someone who needs an act of kindness today. And God has given that assignment to you. God may want you to share your faith or how God has worked in your life with someone whom God has been preparing for a long time to hear just what you have to say. God may just want for you to spend some time in prayer with him today. Moses and Elijah helped the disciples to see that all of history led up to the present reality that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. In our present reality today, Jesus is still the Son of God. When God comes to us, when God confronts us personally, when God invites us to live into a personal relationship with God, that's when we receive the life abundant that Jesus declares in John 10:10. In the King James Version, Jesus says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly." When we accept Jesus into our lives, the abundant life begins for us. You have been invited along for the ride of your life. You may have heard me say this before. The Lord works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps on the wave and he rides upon the storm. And as he passes by, he takes you personally by the hand and says, I am on my way to do something amazing, and I am taking you along for the ride. Don't be afraid. You will live. You will live like you have never lived before. Trust me. Just do what I tell you to do and say what I tell you to say. Remember, I love you. Hang on for the ride of your life. Today's called Transfiguration Sunday. Today is about the identity of Jesus, God the Son. Like the disciples who were privileged to be with Jesus on the mountain, we often miss the importance and the opportunity to praise God even in the midst of our struggles. Through the faith that he gives you, Jesus continues to reveal himself in your life. Jesus makes himself known to others through your faith and through your obedient commitment to Christ. Jesus still reveals his glory, the glory of the one true living and almighty God, and he shines through you to light up the world so that all people can see Jesus' presence starting in you. Today's a day for us to declare our faith. It's a day for us to look for the evidence of Jesus at work within us and around us and through us in this moment. Today is a day for us to worship the living and the almighty God. That's all I have to say about that. I do invite you to stand on your feet and let us together declare our allegiance to the Lord this day and join together in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen.